Good day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the MedTech Business Academy podcast, sponsored by your favorite MedTechsperts. Today, I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues, Bob Restrain and Scott Alexander, and we are excited to talk about a number of subjects that are really pressing as we start to record this in what is kind of the middle to the end of Q1 2024 already. That's crazy. We're already at St. Patrick's Day, but we've got some good St. Patty's Day information to share with everybody. Now we're going to get right into some of the economic activity and what that means to you and how you can be aligning your MedTech resources to take full advantage of what's happening. So with that, I'm excited again to introduce everybody to the MedTech Business Academy. So let's get into some of what we've been talking about. And, you know, there's a few of us on here that actually like to read. Not all of us, apparently.
I'm from South Carolina. How's everybody giving me a hard time? This isn't fair.
The fact that you believe and don't really think there are 29 letters instead of 26 is really something I'm proud of you about.
You know, maybe 13. I only know 25 letters, and I don't know why.
So. I love it.
Kids will make you a master of dad jokes.
Love it. So along those lines, you know, some of the economic activity that we're paying attention to is the fact that if you look at some of what we had coming into Q3 of 2023, okay, roughly 4 to 6 months ago, depending on how you look at it, the industry was pretty flat. We were in one of the flattest economic periods in the med tech industry and healthcare cycle ever, right? We never had such a long extended flat period. And then something happened in October, and there was a significant pop. Patient growth, procedural growth across the board. And you don't have to take my word for it. This is looking into a number of earnings from the provider realm. We're hearing hospitals reporting massive increases in revenue and procedural volume and patient throughput, and that's clearly made its way into the med tech community as they're also recording some significant increases in revenues and profitability, etc. And we sit in a very unique juncture here in that the three of us on this call, we manage a lot of various clients and we get exposed to a lot of information. And the thing that I'm seeing with my clients right now is MedTech coming off that point of mass stagnation had layoffs. And there's reports of almost 34,000 layoffs in our industry alone and still going. But now coming off of Q4 and this massive pop, coming off of what appears to have been a very good January and a good February, seeing a lot of companies just kind of, wait a second, is this real? Should I invest into this? Or are you going to get me to invest and then June's going to be horrible and now I'm going to have to figure out this cycle again, right? There's just a lot of that's happening. So I guess Barbara and Scott, are you guys seeing that kind of across the board? Tell me what you guys are seeing, and then let's start getting into, hey, what should people be doing? Is this real?
Barbara, ladies first.
Ladies first. All right.
I'm Southern. It is
celebrating Women's Month and things, so I appreciate that.
Yes.
I've seen a variety of things, and I think one of the things is we had a little, you know, confab before we went on the air, and Skinder made a point about maybe there's new models. And that's kind of what I'm seeing, is that they're not sure if they want a lot on their books anymore. They're really looking at how do we co-opt this virtual, because—
And by they, just to clarify, what do you mean by they?
Manufacturers, the medtech industry. Because they're not actually seeing that many people at hospitals or their healthcare settings because they're virtual too. And so it's a hit or miss type thing. So they had to pull back, just like hospitals pulled back, everybody pulled back and said, what do we really need? And then you kind of onboard what you might need, but it's in a new model. Do I need fewer you know, feet on the ground and more, you know, 1099s that might be not be on my books that I can upscale, low scale, whatever it is. And then am I doing more virtually and then following those leads? So there's a variety of those things going on.
Yeah, great point. Scott, how about you?
I'm definitely seeing that. I'm seeing some pretty significant shifts in the model, and I started to write them down, but then I realized I'm illiterate, so it didn't do a lot of good. So I drew a picture of a cat, and my artistic abilities aside, I do think that we've seen a very substantial shift in the business models for medical device companies over the past 3 to 5 years. And Barbara, that's kind of what you're talking about. It's okay, we got fractionalization, so people aren't hiring. I was telling the team right before we started recording, I was talking to a company and they say, hey, we don't need a marketing department. We don't need a VP of marketing. We're just going to go hire somebody part-time. And there's like a fractional thing. And I'm seeing more and more of that. There's great organizations. Chief Outsiders is one that a lot of people know about. There's other ones that are doing that. Individuals where you can buy a little bit of people's time. The other thing that I'm seeing is less of a reliance on sales reps from a business model standpoint. So the idea is reps used to be the whole thing from the commercial side. So it's like they were prospecting all the way into closing deals. And I think we're seeing a maturing of the industry towards a more traditional B2B commercial stack where you have a marketing function that is strong and able to generate opportunities. And then you got sales reps that are coming in later in the commercial cycle. But I would say to your question, that's a longer term view. To your question, Skender, or what are we seeing right now? You know, we're generally, as a marketing firm, we're generally slow with new clients, new people coming on board to bring us in to help them. In like January and February is like the dead zone for us. Normally, we are running ragged right now with so many people coming in. And I think what we're seeing is people are doubling down on we're making up for the lost volumes that we had back in Q3, but I think people are feeling more confident about it, which is a good thing, right? If you think, you know, procedural volumes drive sales for most of our products. And so seeing that the hospitals are doing well means that MedTech is going to be doing well. At least that's our perspective on it.
So I guess that's the first question before we dive deeper into business models and things that people can and should be doing. Mm-hmm. I guess, do we get a sense that this is sticking or is it an aberration, right? Because I think that's the problem when I'm talking to clients is they're like, okay, yeah, Q4 was great. Q1 looks good, but you fooled me before, right? Yeah. And I guess from a macro perspective, do we feel like we finally got COVID behind us? We've got a lot of supply chain issues behind us. Potentially, there's still things coming up. I'm not saying it's fully in the rear. We've got a little bit more understanding of how we're going to manage this labor situation and the increased inflation that's a result of it. But do we feel like we're finally in a place where people can move forward without having to be so scared of the past? Or is this an aberration? What do you think of that, just from a macroeconomic standpoint of healthcare activity?
Personally, I think you get a false sense of security. In the back of your mind, you're saying, what's coming to sort of get me, right?
Right.
So you don't want to put so many eggs in one basket and then there's no basket anymore. What am I going to do, right?
Yep.
So there's got to be some of that. I've noticed I don't see as many announcements of new technology, except you can tell by the type of technology that was in the pipeline many years ago because they're usually invasive type products, right? So you're seeing a few of those, but I think in a way, those may be a harder sell just because if you weren't aware of what was going to happen in 5 years and you started this process 5 years ago, and the world right now is, can I afford to wholesale replace some technology that may be just like the one I'm throwing out the door, but it's got a little tiny value to me? Or what is that? So messaging is just so important, or else you've invested, you know, how many millions and billions of dollars you can invest on just one product. Maybe that's some hesitation, because you've got to be leery. I mean, we're in a election year. We're in a variety of a war over here, a war over there. Pick, you know, take your pick. Everything is sort of at odds.
I think it's a great point. And, you know, so Barbara, you shared a great article with me last night that came from Gartner, who does a lot of really good market research across industries, et cetera. And, you know, the piece that you that most spoke to me as we were discussing it is the aspect here where they basically asked people across the board, how are you going to change your organization's go-to-market strategy in the near term, right? And I know we're on a podcast, so we'll just talk about it. The number one thing is that 63% of respondents said they're going to clarify their value proposition. That is the lead thing, okay? And this isn't, just keep in mind, this isn't strictly related to med tech, et cetera. This is kind of industry agnostic, but just from the whole, right? Everybody is starting to understand, hey, maybe I better get that value proposition correct, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing that's related here, and it's basically second and third, because they're basically tied in terms of percentage. 57 and 56% of respondents respectively said they're going to adjust their pricing strategy. And they're going to identify and adjust their target markets. So what's striking to me about this piece is it's almost like the blocking and tackling of sales and marketing, right? All they're not saying that they're going, oh, I'm going to revolutionize a new model. I'm going to double down in new development. All they said is, I've got to get better at blocking and tackling. That's what I'm seeing, right? You guys feel that?
Absolutely. I mean, as a guy who runs a marketing firm for medtech companies, this is a conversation that I have on repeat, is like, what do you do and why do people care? And, you know, it's mind blowing when I'm like, hey, by the way, there's additional people outside of just the doctor who are involved in the buying process. What are we doing about them? How are we impacting IT, which now has the kill switch on anything related to an EMR, or frankly, I bet they could probably kill, like, you know, what you're serving in the cafeteria. Like, those guys have power, and most companies have no idea how to do it. Finance, like, these are things that, you know, when we talk about clarifying value propositions, it's more expansive than just making sure that the doctors understand that having the blue tip on the catheter instead of the red tip allows you to see it better, you know, in dark scenarios. Like, that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about, how do you actually put a real business case around your product or service? And probably 10% of companies out there have actually thought through those things in a way that really is meaningful and impactful to all the buying champions and influencers in the process. So,
yeah,
the other thing, because I'm on a roll, baby. Okay. The other thing, we didn't talk about it, is a little bit further down the list, about 50% said they're going to incorporate account-based marketing. So again, this speaks to what everybody who's listening should be paying attention to. In the buying process, whether you're selling knee implants or you're selling ballpoint pens or you name it, there's a buying champion. That's the guy or gal who's going to say, I got to have this fill in the blank inside our hospital or else the world's going to end. But then you also have buying influencers. That's where the IT, finance, operations, nursing, these other support people in the buying process come in. And thankfully, what I think we're starting to see is an increase in sophistication of, hey, we have to be touching these people as well with the things that they care about. And that, as I looked at that data, that's what I took away, is we're seeing an increased appreciation for all the people involved in the buying process, not just Dr. Smith. So,
really astute. Yeah,
what my colleagues in healthcare organizations are saying. I was just talking to one this week and says, we're looking for true partnerships, those willing to build relationships, which means you got to have a relationship with the entire family, not just with, you know, the person you're going to maybe engage with. You got to get everybody else on board. And then what other value adds can you bring to that relationship? It's not just singularity.
Hey, Barbara, when you were back in on the provider side, when someone said, hey, we want a partnership with you, what did that mean to you? What were they actually saying to you?
Wait, you mean that's not a new thing?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not a new thing. Oh, however, okay. You've got to look at it in a new way. And they'd say that, and, you know, I try not to make the eyes go back in my eyelids. But, you know, that's what I would stop and ask those questions. What does that really mean? What are you really proposing here? You know, and we'd talk about examples. You know, this is what we really need. Is that something? Well, not quite. You know, so you have to go in, be able to answer that question. And we waffle in healthcare between saying relationships and partnerships, collaborations and partnerships, because everybody has a different definition. So I think it's appropriate to get it out of the way. And what does that really mean?
When I was back running sourcing, whenever I heard, hey, we want to have a strategic partnership with you, what I heard was, we want you to not beat us up on price. and I just bring it up because like 100% of the time it was like, hey, we just don't want to have to negotiate on price. We want you just to like want to be with us because we're wonderful people. We have a partnership.
No, what I heard is, that's a separate thing from price. I'm still going to, you know, try to negotiate. But what else can we get out of all of this?
Right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and this goes back to the conversation about the business models, is I think that organizations are legitimately interested. You know, I can speak on behalf of my time at Mercy, and, you know, Barbara, you can talk to your experience previously as well. But I was legitimately interested in figuring out how to create a win-win situation. I just don't think most companies understand how to do it. And I would say now's a great time to start to think about that, because one of the things that you can do as you're reevaluating your business model is start to think about, how do you take costs out of the system and then share those savings with the customer in terms of lower prices, but then you get higher margins. Like, there are ways to do that kind of stuff. And in fact, there are certain organizations that were very good at that and saw their margin increase with everybody's clear understanding because of the transparency and how they were shifting the business model.
Right. But they're also very careful. Do I shift it in this East market? Do I shift it in this Midwest? And if I do it there, then I can't shift it here and there. And then we all talk to each other, and we still do. Right. And wait a minute, how did you get that? And I didn't. And then you start, you know. The other thing, though, Skinder, if you don't mind, I was going to say one more thing in that Gartner article, which it just came out yesterday. It was on LinkedIn, so anyone can get it, is the biggest challenges. And this is the one that I thought of, the challenge to the go-to-market strategy. 51% of those, so over half, slightly, said competition in our industry. Do they know who their competitors really are? Because sometimes they're sort of like stealth competitors because they've got something that's so different, you don't realize it's a competitor. But it could be that it wipes out your product, two or three other products, and now it's a whole new way to do a procedure or a process or whatever in a healthcare system, but you're still operating under the consensus that if I'm doing a catheter, I'm only looking at catheter companies. So I think that's a big challenge that they pointed out, and was a big, more than 50%, understanding that competition.
Well, let's build on that for a second, because, you know, one of the other things that came to me from that piece was, the question was posed is, what is the biggest trend in go-to-market strategies right now? Okay. And again, the funniest thing to me about this, when you peel back the fancy three-syllable words, is basically the first thing is personalization and customization, right? 39% said that's the biggest trend. And again, when you break out the three syllable words, it basically means selling to people. Okay. So that's the biggest trend. All of a sudden, they've got to realize to sell to people. That's a challenge. Okay. And then the second thing is, it was 21% data-driven decision-making. And all that basically means, let's peel that back, means the consumer is smarter. So I've got to sell to a smarter person. Accounting for this, doing the math on that, that's 60% of the equation of what people are saying. These are the biggest trends I'm facing with, right? But when you break it down into the fundamentals, we should have always been thinking about selling to intelligent consumers. We should have been thinking about, how do I sell not to Johns Hopkins Hospital, but how do I sell to Barbara? What is it that's important to Barbara, right? That is the personalization and customization. And the fact that Gartner probably spent $1 million doing this research and threw all these syllables on there kind of throws my mind, right? But 60% of people are saying, hey, we got to look out for this. This is a trend.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, look at the next two, right? Omnichannel approach being another 20%, and then partnerships being another 10%. So that's 30%. It's basically saying we have to talk to our customers in more than one channel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
More than one way.
Right.
Well, I don't know. In a world I was raised in, when Gartner said something, it's you listen, because they do a lot of great research, no matter, you know, the dollars involved or whatever. But usually what they say is kind of right on. They're one of the top three out there that I really go to and really believe in. And, you know, I get regular things from all of these people. But the other two things besides the competition in the industry, and these were tied at 43%, was determining the proper market fit for my product or service, right? And then the same 43% was strategy complexity. It's not just one strategy. So I was on a client actually at just earlier today that said, what about personas? And I said, you have to understand who are all those decision makers that you've got to engage with, right? It's not just the physician and not just talking about, you know, how do you open up the chest and, you know, apply my, you know, stents and all this stuff that's going on, or do I do it, you know, micro-invasively, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or am I talking to a different persona? And what's going to interest them? And they might only want 2 sound bites and 8 minutes of your time versus an hour of doing something else. And then how do I do it? Do I do it virtually? Do I do a video clip that's simple that they can just click on it? I mean, it's just such a variety of things. But those are the top three that are the challenges. So how do I do that? And do I do it with less people? Hence, new models of how to do those things.
I think, because this is like, we've got a big marketing engagement right now, like a strategic marketing engagement around this. And basically, you know, if you think about it, for any given product or service, you have generally a champion and then you have some influencers. And whether you're talking about, you know, these people, right, let's just say the CIO, as a buying influencer for a certain product or service, which if you have anything related to technology, that's an influencer for you. They're going to ask the same 10 to 15 questions, whether it's at Christus or it's at Lifespan or you're down at FMOL down in Louisiana or you're up in, you know, Alina. They're all asking the same questions. And so it'd be a good exercise to go through and map out, what are those 10 to 15 questions? What are the micro decisions that they're making? And then what are the assets that you have to align to those? And, you know, maybe one of the things is, you know, are you using the latest fire, whatever, right? If so, you need to have a couple of different assets for that. One being longer form, because some people like to take and go really deep. Some being quick little snippet, yes, we're good, right? But that's how you address the personas thing. But I want to kind of twist back to Skender, the question that you had, and I wanted to ask y'all, so given the news that we're seeing and all the things that are going on, if you're running a medical device company, let's say, you know, you're pick your space. Are you hiring? Are you steady? Are you shrinking right now from a workforce standpoint?
I think I'm leaning into this right now. I don't know if I'm going wholeheartedly, right? And frankly, just reading the economic tea leaves across the board, there's still a lot of unknowns. We think we might have escaped the recession, which was really the big holdback for much of Q3. Is this wanted recession coming? There's a lot of thought that we might have escaped it, but there's still some things popping up. The January CPI number was ugly. And that has a lot of people freaked. We don't know what's going to happen with the Fed. However, the fact that the cataclysm didn't come, okay, and that's the whole reason. A lot of things were stagnant, not because they were stagnant in and of themselves. They were stagnant because people were stuck and scared about what may come. And if we didn't get what may come, that's why I think we're having this pop of economic activity. So I lean into it. Now, I lean into it guardedly. Okay. If all of a sudden you had a sales force and you did lay off, unfortunately, you know, half of your sales force, I'm no way advocating that, you know, if you had 50 sales reps and you laid off 25, you should go out and hire 35 right now. But what I am advocating for is you need to lean into a commercialization strategy because as we all know, headwinds turning into tailwinds can turn into slight headwinds pretty quickly. And if you've got some tailwinds, you have to go into a market. So hiring 25 sales reps again, the process, the cycle takes too long. The time to get them trained and providing success is going to take too long. And next thing you know, you could be back in front of headwinds. Mm-hmm. But should you have a strong commercialization strategy right now that you should be leaning into? I think yes. I just think you need to think about it in a lean fashion that can allow you to grab it right now.
Yeah, I've seen this is where they've brought in 10, 12, 15 people, but then they didn't have a good enough sales strategy. So then they started coming off. They started leaving so that you had to keep hiring. But if you don't have the strategy, you're just spinning your wheel. So you got to have that strategy. That's key.
I'm bullish as well. I think here's what I think we're going to find that 24 is going to be a good year. I think we're going to finish the election. And I think things are going to get kind of rough in 2025. So to me, that's kind of how I think about it. I would argue we've been in a recession for a year, right? I mean, when you start to look at the data that came out in like Q2 of 2023, I mean, it was very recessionary and hasn't really gotten a whole lot better. So I think we're in a recession in everything other than name. But then you look at like the jobs report that just came out. We had a positive jobs report for February. So, you know, to me, it's like, all right, well, it's probably in a good place. I would be looking at those kinds of things from a macro standpoint and then trying to figure out how long is my sales cycle? Because I think if you've got a 6-month sales cycle, I'm running hard right now to try and get as much of this business as I can, understanding that, right? You're going to be watching CPI and you're going to be watching employment and that sort of thing to start to figure out when you pull back. And maybe you're doing things through more of a fractionalized basis where you're bringing in external parties so that you can ratchet up and down as necessary. But I think a lot of people are going to be slow reacting to this. Right. And so you can get in and take some share pretty quickly when people are looking in the other direction.
You need to apply a nimble commercialization program right now. If you laid off again half of your sales force, don't be thinking, oh, I got to rehire. Again, you need to take advantage, you got to strike while the iron's hot. The iron is seemingly in healthcare right now is hot. And who knows it's going to cool down, if it's going to go cold or if it's just going to go tepid. But, you know, along those lines, you need to be able to act on it. And the only way to act on it is with a program that can allow you to move within 60 days. And hiring 30 sales reps, that's a 60-month impact, right? Not a 60-day impact. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be hiring sales reps. So I don't want to get all these emails from these sales reps jumping all ugly on me. I'm your fan. I'm your biggest fan. You guys do fantastic work and love working with you. It's more of the thing of how do you take advantage of the circumstances that lay today?
Luckily, you're a big guy too. So like most reps are going to come up. They're going to come into New Jersey, be like, what were you saying? Then you like stand up and like, I was just checking, sir. Wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. My left ear is a little bit weak.
Exactly.
Well, remember, Skinder's going out to meetings and things, so they will see him. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Before they start talking trash about.
Exactly. So let's start wrapping this up. I think we talked a lot about a lot of great things, you know, kind of. Let's leave. What do we want to leave people with just in terms of activity, leaning in, models? We've talked about a lot of things. So, Barbara, you want to start that off?
Well, I'm a big checklist person. And I think one of you said checklist. I think you've got to develop your internal checklist and maybe develop that so that different parts of your company kind of have their own that sort of dovetail from, if you've got a checklist that says we need to look at this, this, and this, well, what does their checklist look like? How am I going to help to resolve that, you know, internally? And then when those reps go out, they've got to have their customer facing checklist. So everything should lead back to a strategy that's simple enough to implement, arm the folks with the right tools in order to do the right messaging, but you can't like just do it on the fly. You have to look a lot internally. And some of the things that we brought up from the Gartner folks is you need to look at that and look at your own checklist.
Yep. Love it. Scott.
Yeah. I would say healthcare is built on much longer arcs than I think that we're used to than most people react to. And so what I would be doing if I was running a company is I'd be looking at where do I anticipate this thing being over the course of the next 18 months? And I'd be building out my systems and processes to support that. Because to your point, just a second ago, Skender, like you can't go hire 30 reps tomorrow and you don't want to be whipsawing back and forth. And I think we're at a point where the business model of companies in med tech is changing or has changed. And if you haven't changed with it, then you're behind the times. So I think now is really the time to figure out, okay, can we make hay in 25 or in 24 rather? And then how are we gearing up for this overall change? And ultimately, how are we doing the blocking and tackling the way that we should be doing? Like none of the Gartner report was saying anything that was revolutionary. It was basically understand what your customers care about, figure out how to talk to them, appreciate the fact that there's multiple decision makers in the process, and I don't know, do some TikTok ads like that. That was the other thing we didn't talk about. That was
if it still exists.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I mean, kidding aside, I think what we're talking about is just good routine business, and then make sure that you've got the commercial model to support it. And now's the time to be doing it because numbers are looking good. If you're venture backed, we didn't talk about the fact that like don't be in a position where you have to raise venture capital right now.
Yeah.
But other than that, like it's a really good time for you to be investing into how you're going to have a sustainable commercial model over the next 3 to 5 years.
Great. So the last point that I want to make, and it's something coming off of what Barbara just said, is she, and again, just so everybody knows, Barbara's as well tied into the provider community as she is in the MedTech community. And that's kind of the beauty of the opportunity to work with and talk to Barbara. And she said it herself, her peers in the provider world, they said it. We are looking for partnerships, right? And per Scott and Barbara's points, we in the MedTech community have been saying, oh, we want to be a partner for the last 30 years, okay? But what we really want, and we talked about that, is sell more without you interfering. And we're not going to change our business model. When they say they want partners today, they don't want to just know that you're bringing in the same sales rep every day. A partner is one that brings in resources. A partner is one that forecasts some of the challenges that are happening, that are occurring, and being like, hey, how can we figure out methods to create that ease? You know, we see it within our business, and we have customers that see an opportunity, they get their first bite at a major IDN, and they go at it, and then they come at us and they're like, hey, we want to send one clinical person in for a 30 hospital IDN. And, you know, from our perspective, we're like, guys, this is your chance.
Yeah.
This is your chance. Take it while you can. And I understand, look, budgets are sensitive. I do appreciate that. But at the same token, if you want to showcase partnership, showcase that you're going to be there for them. Roll out the red carpet. Showcase that the fact that they've got a lot of turnover amongst their physicians and their nurses, especially the nurses and the techs, that you can be the company that's going to be there to provide their resources, right? In your marketing, talk to the things that they're thinking about. Don't care, but don't talk about the things that you're thinking about. You're thinking about the red tip versus the blue tip. They're thinking about, how do I do more procedures with less people, right? So that's the way I think we all need to be thinking. And the beauty of what's happening right now is, frankly, I think the provider community is acting faster than it ever has, mm-hmm. out of necessity. So this is an opportunity if you're ready to act right now. And that's what I think I'd like everybody thinking about. You're hearing people talk about partnerships. Embrace that. All right. So with that, we thank everybody for the time today. Thank you for joining. Again, we're recording this roughly at the end of Q1 2024. So it'll be really interesting to listen back to this in another 6 months. But I do foresee a lot of adaptation in our industry. And I'm excited to see it firsthand. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Happy St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Bye-bye. Thanks.